This is basically the same program that Dr. Reynolds described. The particular analysis that we're doing here are people who only got the standard testing. So we deleted anyone who got the rapid testing. And I have no disclosures. HIV testing and counseling has been going on in very large scale basically in the world. And one of the big problems is trying to get the test results to the people who have been tested. And this is something we've been pretty concerned with. And so we've had a number of different ways of doing the analysis. So this is really treat this as a sort of a work in progress here. And what we'd like to do is we'd like to figure out, well, all right, for those people who are not likely to return for the test results, what can we do about it? So we're and the first thing we've got to do is try to figure out, understand who those people are going to be. So we've been testing for HIV for about 20 years. And in 2000, we started to link data from the risk behavior assessment with data from our test results and return date. And in 2005, we started to bundle the tests for hepatitis A, B, and C, syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea with the HIV test. And the county wanted to do this because they thought that if we gave them more tests, that they would be more likely to return to get their test results because there would be more information for them. So that was sort of their hypothesis about it. What we did is we tried to search the literature on failure to return for HIV tests. And we started out by just testing on a bivariate basis all of the predictors that other people had reported in the literature. If we had a variable that was similar to what other people had reported. And after we found out which of those were significant on a bivariate basis, we then constructed a multivariate logistic model predicting failure to return for test results. And this is really failure to return on time, is how we're describing it here. And what that means is that they missed their first post-test counseling date, which was a week after the blood draw. So if they did show up for that, that was considered to be either late or non-return in this particular analysis. And as I said, we excluded those who got the rapid test. So one of the things is that the variables that were not related, that other people have reported are related, but were not related in our data, was age, found no effect for age, race, which is kind of interesting because three papers reported that blacks are less likely to return and one paper reported that they're more likely to return. We found not even a hint that we got any race effect. Gender, one paper reported that women are less likely to return. We saw no differences by gender. And we saw no differences on either alcohol or non-prescription methadone. We did find some differences on other drugs. Number of sex partners, really nothing. The coping strategies indicator is kind of, it's at the borderline. Depending upon when you do the analysis, it sort of flips back and forth between being significant or not significant. In this particular case, it was not significant. We didn't see gonorrhea, human papillomavirus, chlamydia, or herpes being related. And we didn't see giving drugs for sex or giving money for sex. So that's the clients commercial sex workers. And also history of receiving HIV test results. We didn't see any effect for that. So these are things that we tested because we saw it in the literature and we wanted to know if we would come up with those things also. So some of the bivariate results are days use crack, and the numbers sort of on top of each row are the mean number of times. in the 30-day period. And then we got the reason freedom on T and our p-value. So in all these cases, days used cracked, days used heroin, times injected any drug, times used heroin before sex, and times used speedball before sex. Speedball was a combination of cocaine and heroin. And all of those turned out to be higher in the group that was late. And we're going to use the term late because we don't know if they eventually came back or not in this analysis. Now, on the chi-squares that were also are not in the logistic model, the self-report of hepatitis B, marijuana, every use of marijuana, every use of cocaine, every use of speedball, other opiates, amphetamine, ever injected, the HBV positive sign is the actual lab test for hepatitis B. RPI, R is the rapid plasma reagent test for syphilis. Trading sex for drugs and sex for money. So this is the actual commercial sex workers. Homelessness, and also if they'd ever been incarcerated. So these things turned out to be significant on a bivariate basis. Other people have reported that in the literature. So our data, in fact, were consistent in these cases. Education also was significant on a bivariate basis in that, and this is sort of a weird ordinal variable, the way that the RBA has this. And so the more education, the more people were likely to return on time, is basically what this slide is saying. Now, risk perception is one of the variables that actually made it into the multivariate model. And this is the way that collected. There's no chance, 0%, some chance, 25%, half chance, 50%, high chance, 75%, and a sure chance, 100%. And so the person picks which of those describes them, their own risk perception. And it turns out that the higher the risk perception, the more likely the person was to be late. Now this was a marital status was a something that I wouldn't have thought of if I hadn't seen it in the literature. But those who are single, that is never married, in this case, are more likely to return on time. And all other categories are less likely. Ever use crack? Crack turned out to be a pretty good predictor variable for us. The people who use crack were also the people who were likely to be late to a large extent. Ever used heroin by itself also was a good predictor, and that these are been shown in the literature. This was a good predictor of people who are late. And this is actually fairly important in that the people who actually, who were late were significantly more likely to test positive on the lab test, on the HIV positive lab test. Here is our logistic regression model. And so those are the odds ratios. The orange bars are the odds ratios, and the white bars are the confidence intervals. The big predictor was HIV. And then we have two drug variables of the heroin and crack, and then risk perception. And then there are the marital status was actually a protective factor because it's less than one. Um, And even though we didn't have like stupendous odds ratios, this actually hangs together conceptually pretty well. Those not returning on time are those who are more likely to test positive and have higher risk perception. And it looks like their risk perception was accurate. The fact that these individuals are delaying or avoiding receiving test results means that whatever positive change could have happened as a result of the post-test counseling and getting people into treatment or having them change their behavior, or both, hopefully, isn't happening. So this is a problem. And that's why we're trying to really examine this real carefully. What we also found is that drug users are the ones who are less likely to return on time. Now, we also know from other analysis that we've done is that they're less likely to choose the HIV rapid test. And one problem is that we don't have rapid tests licensed in the United States for the other drugs or for the other diseases that we're testing for that drug users are likely to want to know about. What we're going to try to do in the future is really to have the outcome variable being either late or not showing up isn't really the right way to run this. It really should have been a survival model with a Cox regression model. Because what we have is it's really time to an event that is time to return, and some of the data are censored. That is, in some cases, you don't have a time to return for some individuals. So we really need to run a different model. But this was useful for us on a first cut to try to look at what we think are going to be the good predictors for us. And what we also think really needs to happen as a result of several analyses that we've done with the data is that we need to develop an intervention targeted at drug users, especially according to our multivariate model, crack and heroin users, to try to do some education to inform them of the availability and advantages of the HIV rapid test. We know that the drug users are the ones who are less likely to choose the rapid test, less likely to get it. The gay men that were tested are more likely to choose the rapid test. And it looks like it's a big educational split between the two groups. So what we think is that when we do the screening, if we find out that someone has used crack or heroin and possibly some of the other drugs, that we really should have an additional module there to try to inform them about the rapid test. And hopefully we'll eventually get other rapid tests for other diseases too. So that basically is what I had for this presentation. These are references because we had a lot of literature.